We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 25, which is entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text number 17. Puryastu bayo pavane divyadruma latakule nadat vihangali kula kola hala jalasaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. Please repeat. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. Since the body is a great city, there must be various arrangements such as lakes and gardens for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which incite sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. Because the body has genitals, when the living entity attains the right age, be he man or woman, he or she becomes agitated by the sex impulse. As long as one remains a child, he is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman. Although the sense organs are present, unless the age is ripe, there is no sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse are compared here to a garden or a nice solitary park. When one sees the opposite sex, naturally the sex impulse increases. It is said that if a man in a solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is to be considered a brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, or talking, coming into contact with, or even thinking of the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes sexually impelled. Consequently, a brahmachari or sannyas is prohibited to associate with women, especially in a secret place. The Shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park, remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful young woman. Om Agyanati Murandasya Agyananira Shakshin Akshuram Militam Yenatas Maishi Vavena Maha Om Vishnulai Krishnustan Bhutaleshim Tesatvar Dasko Swami Tirani Om Vishnudaya Krishna Pishtaya Mutaleshumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Sarasvata Devi Kauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacha Vizatari. So here the as part of the characteristics of King Puranjana come to the part with beautiful trees and creepers and nice lake. And as we know, the cities, they have this, like Brussels, Liège, they have here and there some parks, some quiet places within the busy city, which are especially created to create from passion some area which is more in goodness. Of course, since you are in the city all around, still you see the cars and the buildings and the, but still some or other it gives a kind of relief from that very passionate atmosphere. So and here it is compared with the body, the enjoying part of the body, which is the and we all know that the main attraction in material life is the sex attraction for the opposite sex, and attraction for enjoying the opposite sex. And as Srila Prabhupada describes, up to a certain age there is no problem with that attraction. A boy of 7-8 years, he doesn't have any such an attraction, or a girl of 7-8 years. But then later when they hit puberty, then it's a different thing. A boy of 7-8 years, he doesn't mind to stand between the side of the Matajis and during Guru Puja, no problem. But once they are a little older, then it's not anymore the same thing. There, in some other places, Srila Prabhupada says that if girls hit puberty, then they should be married. That was the standard in Vedic times. Of course, married may, especially when they are married at such a young age, the understanding is that the boy stays in the family of the boy and the girl stays in the family of the girl. But the girl knows, I have a husband, and in the future I will live together with him. And in this way she is her mind is pacified, and the parents, of course, they know the girl very well, and they look for a competitive husband. So both parents, knowing the children, they make an arrangement, and they don't start living together, but they are they know that in the future they will live together, because Sri Prabhupada explains that if a girl's mind is restless about, you know, who I'm going to marry, and by such an arrangement she is peaceful and she doesn't think about other boys. She only thinks about this one boy, and in this way she can grow up peacefully. Because in some other purport it is explained, if a girl hits puberty and like we see in the West with our children, you know, they become 15, 16, 17 years of age, and then they mix with all kinds of boys, and from that mixing comes real relationships, sexual relationships. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport, if a girl has such a relationship with a boy, then psychologically it affects her. Srila Prabhupada says, a young woman who has no husband is called anatta, meaning one who is not protected. As soon as a woman attains the age of puberty, she immediately becomes very much agitated by sexual desire. It is therefore the duty of the father to get his daughter married before she attains puberty. Otherwise, she will be very much mortified by not having a husband. Anyone who satisfies her desire for sex at that age becomes a great object of satisfaction. It is a psychological fact that when a woman at the age of puberty meets a man and the man satisfies her sexually, she will love that man for the rest of her life, regardless who he is. Thus, so-called love within the material world is nothing but sexual satisfaction. So on the young girl who has this first experience with a man, it leaves a very strong impression. And indiscriminatingly, if the boy is actually the right partner for her or not, or if they have the same goals in life, or if they have somewhat a similar background, or if intellectually they are on the same, little bit on the same level, etc., etc., disregarding all this considerations, the girl will be attached basically to that person simply because he was the first man in her life who satisfied her sexually. So here we see the importance. Of course, we may not be, our Western society is on that level completely different. But it's good that we understand, because sometimes people, they misunderstand, they think, oh, they, you know, they marry this man with this young girl, 13 years old, 14 years old, how can they do that? We should understand the reasons, the background of that, the reasons behind that is are very thorough reasons, and it makes a lot of sense. And the proof of our Western society is that there is a lot of quarrel and people ultimately fighting and And then, because they are so different from each other, they only, you know, they were too young, and they only made their choice on feelings and sentiments and and on occasions, and then they, you know, and then they get together, and then they become attached to each other, as it explains here. But then the differences are so big, and you know, and life brings difficulties about in any case, that they, you know, that the fighting goes on so strongly, and then ultimately they with a lot of pain and you know, a court case and whatever, they split up, because, you know, because it doesn't match, it cannot work like that, the way how it is done in Western society. So, of course, it's a big topic, and you know, but it's a topic which is many times misunderstood also. So one of the important principles of Bhakti Yoga is that higher realization is impossible if we have not taken care of controlling the senses. So having controlled senses is a prerogative for advancing spiritually. And as Sri Prabhupada explains, and as it is also part of the principles in spiritual life and on the time of initiation, Sri Prabhupada is asking to refrain from, and the previous acharyas also, from illicit sex. So, and as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, sex for getting children, that's an act of devotional service, while sex for pleasure is binding, is pulling us down. So this is made very clear. At the same time, it's one of the biggest stumble blocks in spiritual life for a devotee, because that these attachments are there, and thinking, feeling, willing is there, the mind is there, our intelligence is there, who is not that pure. Our intelligence is supposed to oversee our mind's activities, and it does. But if our intelligence is material, obviously it's going to accept that our mind is also wandering on the material platform. So so that's a problem. And the soul, she is in a, the soul wants to be Krishna conscious. Our soul wants that. But our soul is waiting for our intelligence to become purified, and then we can blossom. Everything goes very smooth. If our mind is purified, if our intelligence is purified, then the soul, you know, the our Krishna consciousness can blossom very well, can develop very nicely. But you know, the mind, wherever, the mind is like a sponge. You put it in pure water and it will fill up with pure water. You put it in dirty water and it will absorb the dirty water. So with our mind you can, of course, our mind in a conditioned state and overseen by material intelligence is not going to want the best thing with us. That's why Sri Bhaktisiddhanta made this statement that in the morning we should beat our mind with a shoe and in the evening with a broomstick. Or I think it doesn't matter if it's a shoe or a broomstick, but we should not accept the propositions of the mind. But who is the one who has to accept them or reject them? That's our intelligence. And that's why Prabhupada calls his students, you know, intelligent boys and girls, because they choose the right path. Of course, one thing is to choose the right path, and then another thing is to continue in the right path. It's not enough to choose one time the right path, one also has to then continue following the right path. So these are the challenges for all of us conditioned souls. As long as we are conditioned, we will be, you know, struggling with these elements. Sri Prabhupada explained that even on old age, you know, there is a story about, you know, that an old man on his deathbed, a young girl comes in the room, and his only time he was able to lift his head was when the young girl came in the room. So, just as a picture, how deeply rooted sex desire is, how deep these attachments go, and how long they are staying with us. Even when the physical body can't, fulfill the desire anymore proposed by the mind, the mind is still able to think of these things and be attracted to these things. So there we have a great task at hand, because we have two bodies. We have a material body which is made from earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then we have Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki. And we have our subtle body. Our second body is the subtle body, which is made up from mind, intelligence and ego, between brackets, false ego. So even if one body, the gross one, is less active, then still the subtle body can be active and is active. And when the soul leaves the body in the conditioned state, then the subtle body is also continuing its traveling with the individual soul. And obviously the gross body stays behind, but the subtle body is moving on to the next body. So, So this purification of the mind, intelligence, the best purification is the spiritual program as given by Srila Prabhupada. That has the most effect on our mind, our intelligence, and ultimately they will purify the false ego and so the process of Krishna consciousness is the best medicine there for purifying these basic elements. But still we can see that even if we chant, we can think of sex, or we can think of material activities as described here in the verse. So we can sit there nicely and our mouth is moving and we are saying the holy name, but so on our subtle body the mind is busy on another level. So that's why Prabhupada requested us to hear when we chant. When we hear the holy name, then the holy name can have an effect on the purification of the mind. Because if we chant like an automatic pilot, like the plane is going, between Delhi and Brussels, the pilot puts it on an automatic pilot, and their pilot is talking with his colleague about whatever is happening in the world. So if we do the same, we put our chanting on automatic pilot and the mind is busy with these material desires, then we are not supposed to allow this to go on, because it's not wrong it's perfect that we are sitting there and chanting. But what is wrong is that we allow our mind to drift off on these material desires. That is what is wrong. That means we are not hearing, we are hearing our mind. It's our mind who takes that space for spiritual advancement. It's taken by the mind, basically. So we have to then do an effort, and that's what is required. At that time, we have to do an effort to, move on with these thoughts and to let the mind hear the holy name. Because it cannot do two things at the same time. It can either think about material sense gratification, or it can also think about devotion service, which is obviously better, but which is not the best. The best is if we hear the holy name while we chant. That is the most purifying, and that is going to, on the long term, going to have a lasting effect on our mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's going to do the real cleaning there. Because the problem is the cheto darpana marjanam. So our heart is covered with dust, but the holy name can take away that layer. And that layer is expressed in the mind being in other thoughts. That is that layer which the heart is. That's the contamination. That's the expression of the contamination of the heart, is the mind thinking of material desires. So if we can do an effort, if we can train ourselves in that process of Krishna consciousness, and in this way, let these clouds of sense gratification, let them go and absorb ourselves in the hearing of the Holy Name, then we are putting building blocks in devotional service, and we train also our mind. Because the mind is willing to be trained, See, the mind you cannot absorb in one thing, absorb in another thing. That's why when the mind is engaged, when we are engaged in devotional service, we are in a better situation. Every time when I go to India, I realize that, because there are so many hours you're spending on plane and in queue, and so many hours you can't really chant, you can't really read, you can't really, it's this type of space out situations, and the materialistic inclined mind quickly wants to go to material things. But when I'm in Radhades and I'm in meetings and then I'm kind of protected from that type of thing. While when the mind is leisure and it opens up for all kinds of things, useless things, waste of time, waste of energy, wrong type of meditation, etc., etc. I had several quotes to read, but time is up. Maybe some comments, some questions, some remarks. Take a second. Well, it's related, because in the beginning of the class, then I was discussing the point that, for a girl, it's the best if they are engaged at it when they reach puberty. And engaged doesn't mean that they start living together, but it means that the girl has a boy with whom she will live together in the future. And of course, that's completely different from the West, as Jai Krishna Prabhu is saying. In the beginning of our movement, the gurus matched some devotees together. I heard a few days ago, it was yesterday actually, in a conference call with the EC, that that in some temples they had two bags, one names of boys, one names of girls, and then somebody took a name out of the hat and put them together. So obviously that's also not the way to do it. So, it has to be done very considerate, It has to be done, just like parents, they are very, in general, they are very much caring about the future of their child. So they are willing to go through the effort, and they know the child also very well, and they are willing to go and have discussions with the future parents of their future son-in-law, etc. So it's that type of, the first thing is to believe in the system. Because, there is also a little bit like still a tendency to not believe, oh, that's for India, third world third world country. You know, we think that is from the primitive times, you know. You have to do things according to time and circumstances. So first we have to understand, deeply understand, what is, you know, what is there exactly. Because even in India, I mean, you can also, you take the newspaper, you can also find, you know, exploitation of women, you can, you know, men who are over-controlling, and, you know, I mean, it's plenty. But if we really go to the root of the meaning, I mean, there is a, you know, there is a very deep, it makes a lot of sense, and it avoids so much trouble for the girl, and so much waste of energy, and included this what we read there, that if the girl has a sexual intercourse with a random boy, then she even becomes attached to him, disregarding whatever background, etc. So this is definitely very unhealthy. Of course, to put that, to introduce that in the West, it has to be done by very concerned parties. It has to be deeply understood why and the meanings and you know, and of course there has to be the child, the girl has to be at a certain age minimum before she can marry, 16, 17, 18, I don't know. That depends on situations. Otherwise there can be easily abuse again if this is not done in a very mature way. But it doesn't take away the you know, the principle which is healthy. Because I mean, can you imagine a girl, she has just one boy in her mind for the rest of her life, from child to the rest of her life, to the time of Vanaprastha. So this is you know, this is very, very healthy. So much waste of energy and time and energy our children are spending at these ages of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, sometimes it goes up to in the 20s, you know, flying from one boy to the other in their mind, and making jokes about this one and that one, and you know, and flirting, and all, so much waste of energy, which could be used for progressing in spiritual life. But it's not a... Yeah, we don't have a full answer to that. Shri Prabhupada ki jha, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jha, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jha, or Krimanam Dei.